Advent means, among other things, that you are capable of being surprised. Thank you. Thank you. And what a surprise to have two of our four kids and my wife, who was stolen away from the church where she normally plays the organ, to be here today. 30 years ago, when this Sunday rolled around, you heard the beginning of the gospel, which is how Mark 1 begins. But this seems to be the year for Isaiah 40. Listen. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice cries, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, and their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain. O Zion, herald of good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I suspect we've heard these words a lot over the years. Sometimes they emerge in a situation of deep weariness. And Isaiah declares, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. The last words I shared with Fred Lyon before he passed. Sometimes the word echoes elsewhere, as in Psalm 103, as for mortals, their days are like grass, they flourish like the flower of the field. And at least once a year, the words are heard from an angel choir, some of them in tuxedos, singing Handel's Messiah. Comfort, comfort ye my people, and every valley shall be exalted. Isaiah's words have been imprinted on posters and Christmas cards and even on the covers of worship bulletins. They're words we've heard before, and this week I started to pay attention. Now, one of the ways that we pay attention to Scripture is by asking a simple question. What's going on? If there is a deed described, what is the action undertaken? If there is a word spoken, what does that word do? So what's going on in Isaiah 40? I put together a short list. An interruption of sorrow. The proclamation of grace that cancels our human brokenness. A declaration of homecoming to those who haven't arrived yet. A reminder of the shortness of our mortality and the eternity of God's speaking. A vision of God's arrival, the announcement that God's power is shown in kindness and generosity. The word of God's constancy for the faint, weary, powerless, and exhausted. And let's confess it, there's also here a good bit of cheerleading. No wonder that Isaiah names these words as good tidings. They are tidings of comfort and joy, if you will. No wonder that Walter Brueggemann, the Old Testament scholar, goes as far as to name this the gospel of Isaiah, the ultimate good word. Here is the gospel. God is near. Don't be afraid. Home is at hand. Everything will be ultimately okay. So keep going. It is a remarkable text, and it originates with an audible sigh of relief. Comfort is that sigh of relief in the Hebrew text. It's a word intended to be an exhaled word. We don't keep the stale air of sorrow in our lungs. We let it out. And we hear this in the Hebrew, nacham, whew, comfort. I can't think of a more necessary word for us. For so many of us, this has been a disorienting year. Back in the middle of March, I wrote a note to the congregation to announce, I look forward to seeing you soon on Palm Sunday. I didn't realize that that was Palm Sunday 2021. Those who planned to get married either downsized the plans or postponed the parties. Those who passed away had to settle for smaller remembrances, sometimes a good time after their passing. Our children are studying in front of computer screens. Those still employed are working from the kitchen table. People are making significant decisions about what they now need to do or where they need to live. It has been a most disruptive year. One of the most enlightening conversations came from a friend who put it this way, I'm spending a lot of time in my house, but I don't feel at home. Listen to that. Stay with that. This is one who rarely goes to the store, much less to pick up takeout food from a restaurant. And he has enjoyed almost 9 months to spruce up the property, plant vegetables for the first time, and tackle all those long-deferred home improvement projects. He says, I have spent more time with my wife than I have for years, and we've rediscovered that we actually like one another. Yet his heart is deeply unsettled. He feels like an exile on his own property, a long way from home. Why is that? Well, there are a lot of reasons, I suppose. A lot of reasons. This is a crazy time. Whoever thought that a little germ could have this kind of impact and so ripples again and again and again. There's national confusion in the air. A completed election is still disputed by a candidate who told us in advance he expected to be defeated. And a significant number of our neighbors have convinced themselves they'll never get the COVID-19 virus. Why, right before the service, I found out that one of my colleagues now has it, and he hasn't been very careful with his church. Closer to home, even though a lot of the Christmas lights have gone up early, nobody seems to be caught up in the usual hoopla of the holidays. Thanksgiving was quiet. Christmas could be quieter. I tell you, the only excitement on my street now is when the big brown truck stops in front of the house and we get to open the parcels and gift wrap the contents and then send them back out again. At least that's my plan for this week. It's disorienting. It's disruptive. A challenge to both the imagination and a drain on the emotional reservoir. There are plenty of Zoom seminars purporting to keep us connected with the rest of humanity. And one stood out for me with a simple piece of advice. Admit how you feel. Slow down and don't try to outrun it. There's nowhere to run. Don't sugarcoat it to your friends. They're probably feeling the same. Now, in a different year, We would complain to one another about how stressed we feel in December. There's so much to do. And in this very strange December, we can complain how stressed we feel because there isn't a lot to do. And the point of intersection is what lies behind the stress. Let me suggest it is the singular truth that we don't feel at home. We're far from home. So the word of the Lord comes to the prophet Isaiah, and it is that single word, comfort. Zacham. And the word is repeated, comfort, comfort. And it's offered to all of us, to the whole tribe. You know, I did a little poking around and discovered something. In the Hebrew Bible, comfort is a realignment word. It is a verb designed to move us from one emotional state to another. And some scholars suggest it bears with it a twinge of repentance, a decision to no longer go down the road of self-destruction. It's curious that this word is used a lot in the Hebrew Bible, but it's often applied to God, that whenever God repents, that is, when God changes the divine mind and cancels all those lightning bolts he intended to throw at us, this is the verb, comfort. And how could it be otherwise? God's ultimate purpose is not destruction, but rebuilding, restoring, carrying us home. And the amazing thing about Isaiah, at least this version of Isaiah, is that he preaches homecoming to people who haven't gotten there yet. He points beyond all their circumstances toward the horizon still out of sight. Isaiah speaks as a captive in Babylon. For nearly 70 years, he and his neighbors have lived in a land that is not their own. Most probably he was born there and raised there and even flourished to some extent there, but he knew it was not his home. And for most of those 70 years, the Jews in Babylon debated and discussed back and forth, how did this calamity come upon us? This is the record of so many of the prophets. Some said, well, you know, maybe we should have listened when the prophets warned that we had turned our backs on holiness. And others said, well, maybe we should have paid attention when the prophets called us to stop worshiping our own comfort and start loving our neighbors. And some said, well, maybe we've ignored God's teachings so regularly that ignoring has become a habit. And others said, well, maybe God just grew tired of waiting for us to come to our senses. And after this long 70-year dialogue, God interrupts it all. Comfort. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to them. Announce all sin is forgiven. Tell them all penalties are paid. It is time for a new start, a new beginning. It's time to come home. That's what God says even before his people physically can return to the places that they could barely remember. Because I think, as you sense, returning home is not just packing the ox cart and hauling your stuff back to Jerusalem. Returning home is a symbol for what it means to live with God, to welcome God. It is a metaphor for reconnecting to the invitation to obey what God teaches as a way of loving both Creator and creation. And it is a very practical, life-giving return to flourishing and fulfillment. In the middle of this very disruptive year, friends, I hear this invitation. 2020 will be known from this point on as the year of the reset, the year to see straight. In the middle of all that we've lost, we can claim now what we value most. In a time when we've been stripped of extravagances, God's invitation is to trust the essentials. In a season when we've been deprived of hugs, we must find, and we continue to find, other ways to connect, affirm, and stay connected. And in a moment when wanderlust has been curtailed, we begin to see with 2020 vision that there is gift and beauty surrounding us. So to make this move in our hearts as well as our imaginations, we are comforted with a new glimpse of home. Like the prophet, I strain to imagine what we might see. We see a fresh awareness of how fleeting life is, like the withering of grass or the fading of the flower. But we treasure all the days that God does provide. I see in my heart what it would be like to live without fear, to know deeply in our bones how gracious God is and what that means to flourish in that freedom. And best of all, I begin to picture how good it would be for God to find us, how sweet it is for God to make a way to us, and how joyful it is to announce with full resolve, here is your God. That is when we know Advent is working on us. And the moment it can come when we discover that the word spoken to the prophet Isaiah is now a word spoken to us. Comfort, comfort. Don't be afraid. Here is your God.